seeking the blessing of the Lord upon us once again this evening, let us turn to consider words from that passage that we read together, Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9. If you wish to look at the section from verse 10 to 13. Matthew 9 from verse 10, and it came to pass as Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto his disciples, why eateth your master with publicans and sinners? But when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, they that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. But go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice. For I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. What we see in this passage is that Christ is available to all. The Saviour is for you and everyone that you know, everyone you have known, everyone you ever will know. Here is the only Saviour for them. Sometimes we are inclined to pass judgments on ourselves or on other people. It may be the case that there are some of us here who have said within our hearts, I am not the type to be converted. I'm not the kind of person who would ever become a Christian. Or sometimes we are more guilty of passing judgments on other people, and we look at them and we consider, I cannot imagine that person being saved. We are all a bit like that at times. There is even sometimes within us something that says, I would not like that person to be saved. And if we were asked to make a prediction and to separate out those who would be saved and those who would never be saved, we would, some of us, enter into it with as much willingness as foolishness. And what we are really seeing in that kind of judgment is that we do not believe the gospel is to go to all. That we do not think much of the grace of God. We do not think much of the irresistible grace of the God Almighty. Irresistible grace is, of course, one of the points, one of the doctrines of a Reformed church. But do we like it? That His grace may come to any, and they will be saved. The frankness and the bald-faced freeness of grace sometimes startles us. And it startled the Pharisees here. We don't always like it. But what we learn here is that we can go to anyone with the gospel. We can go to the man who deliberately works on the Lord's day with the gospel. He is not in some class that cannot be reached. We can go to the Roman Catholic. We can go to the priest. We can go to that person that you don't like. The person who is in your eyes a cheater, the person who in your eyes is a manipulator, the person who always gets under your skin, the gospel is as free to go to them as anybody. You can go to whoever with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Matthew knew that. And Matthew was determined that he would take and gather together all his scheming colleagues in the tax trade, all these fiddling taxmen, and he would gather them together and they would hear Jesus. And he had a great feast in his house and he drew them in and had them sit down to eat and to drink with Jesus Christ. But the Pharisees did not like such freeness, and they did not like such grace, because it implicitly condemned them. It condemns, grace condemns a works-based religion. If there must be grace, there is no place for a works-based religion. And so they come in verse 11 with this criticism, this critical question of our Saviour. Why eateth your master with publicans and sinners? They are saying, isn't he being a bit too free with his favours? Really? Does he want to associate with taxmen? Does he want to associate with sinners? Does he want to associate with those who are seen to be supporting the oppression of Rome against us? Is that really what he wants to do? Are you sure that his teaching should go to all these kinds of people? And Jesus, we read in verse 12, heard what they were saying. And he gives three reasons why he was doing what he was doing. He gives three reasons why he was eating and drinking with publicans and sinners. He gives three reasons for a full, free gospel offered to everyone. He says the gospel is free because of men's need. And it is free because of God's character. And it is free because of his own mission. We wish to look at these in turn this evening. The gospel is free because of men's need. The gospel is free because men and women are sinners. Because we are all sinners. That is what Christ says in verse 12. He said unto them, they that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. Why was Christ eating and drinking? Why was he associating with these people? Why did the Holy Son of God come and live with creatures who were sinners and who rebelled against him? The answer from the Lord himself is because of their need. Because of their need. And the picture that he uses is very straightforward. It is of a medic and the patient. A doctor and the patient. When you see an ambulance drawing up at full speed and stopping outside a house, and the medics moving quickly inside the house, we know that there must be a great need. Something is wrong. That is why the ambulance is there. That is why the medical staff have arrived. Something is wrong. And it's a very harsh-minded kind of person who would criticize the ambulance for being there. We might say if it was the other way around, it would be unjust. if it wasn't on the basis of need, if Christ only went in the gospel to certain classes and had nothing to do with whether they needed him or not, we might say that was arbitrary and unjust. But Christ's response is no, he goes to all sinners because all need him. The doctor goes to everyone who is sin sick. The great physician of souls goes in his word to all such. It would be fearful if he only went to some who were sick with sin. If there were some who were sick with sin, and this great physician of souls refused to see them, that would be dreadful. What a position for poor sinners to be in, unable to see the physician. But there are no such restrictions. And that is what Christ is pressing home to these narrow-minded Pharisees. How important for us to know this. We cannot start dividing up our own circles of friends and family, our own street, our own societies, our own communities, into who deserves salvation and who doesn't. Who deserves Jesus? And nor can you, whoever you are here today, nor can you exclude yourself from salvation, unless you do not have the same need. Unless you're not a sinner, is the plainness of the language that Christ is using. You have no right to say, I will never be saved, unless you can also say, I am not a sinner. And there is no one here in that category. There is no one in our town, in our island. There is no one in our nation. There is no one in this world who can exclude themselves on that basis. And Christ condemns the Pharisees. That is implicit in his response. He condemns them for their elitism. They that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. They thought themselves to be well. They thought there was no trouble. Christ condemns their elitism with this cutting reply. But at the same time, he is also showing them the nature of grace. Christ is not even excluding the proud Pharisees here. He is saying, all who need. And the Pharisees, although they didn't see it, and although they couldn't see it, and although they wouldn't admit it, they did need this Saviour. Men might think that they have no need of Jesus. That everything's going well in your life. That you have no troubles. That you're content not being a Christian. But you're wrong. Are there not those here? And you are not really content with not being a Christian. There is a part of your soul that knows that you will never find that peace and happiness, that joy, until you are a Christian. This salvation comes to us all. But there's also a blessing hinted at in these words. Christ is not only saying, all men are sinners, they all have this great disease, they all have this great need, and I am as a doctor among them. But more than that, there's a blessing, and we are told here surely that sin is not incurable, because there is a physician. Sin is not incurable. Sin is like a disease among us. But there is a physician. And you need him. You need Christ. You are permitted to claim his salvation on the very grounds that you need him. It is full and it is free and it is hearty to all who are in need. There is none to be excluded. When Christ is challenged on this part, why are you going with the gospel to this class? Christ replies in this way, I go where I am needed. The gospel is free because all of us need the gospel. Christ goes on to give a second great reason. It is not only because men are sinners, but it is because God is good. The gospel is free because of God's character. We have this in verse 13. Go ye and learn what that meaneth. And he gives a quote from the Old Testament. Go and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice. Christ quotes that passage again just a few chapters later on in chapter 12 and verse 7. But if ye had known what this meaneth, I will have mercy and not sacrifice, ye would not have condemned the guiltless. Gospel is free because of God's character. And by quoting this passage, Christ is telling us that God's character was already revealed in the Old Testament. We cannot say that this grace, this open-heartedness of God, it only came in with Christ, it only came in with the New Testament. Things were different. Things were harsher in the Old Testament. It wasn't fair that Christ would condemn the Pharisees in that way. That is not so. Christ draws their attention to the Old Testament, to the book of Hosea. Chapter 6 and verse 4. O Ephraim, God is speaking to the northern states and the southern state. O Ephraim, what shall I do unto thee? O Judah, what shall I do unto thee? For your goodness is as a morning cloud, and as the early dew it goeth away. Therefore have I hewed them by the prophets. I have slain them by the words of my mouth. For I desired mercy and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings. This quote means that Christ alludes to. What it means is that God had already expressed himself regarding our attitude to others. I will have mercy and not sacrifice. He doesn't want the kind of goodness that's all in the speaking, all in the what we will do, all in the show, and it evaporates away like dew. It's a morning cloud that's full of promise, but it brings nothing. God does not want religious ritual that takes the place of care and concern for the souls of others, for the lost, for those downtrodden in society. God desires that we show mercy to our fellow men. When he says, I will have mercy, it is, I will have you to live a merciful life, to show this great mercy to all those around you. That to God is more important than sacrifice, than the formalities of going through the motions. God desires that we would show mercy in our lives to our fellow men. And it reveals something about the character of God. This is what Christ is driving at. Why? Why is it that Christ is drawing their attention to this verse? Because it tells us of God Himself. It reveals God to be a God who Himself loves to show mercy. It reveals God to be a God who is not asking us to do what He Himself will not show, mercy. So this aspect of God's character, His grace to the undeserving, unrestricted, it was there in the Old Testament, but it was misunderstood by the Pharisees. The Pharisees got it totally the wrong way around. They thought that they could just fulfill all the sacrifices, and God wasn't really interested in the hidden things of their heart. Notice what Jesus actually says to them. He doesn't say to these religious people, go and learn this passage of Scripture. That was important. But the Pharisees had spent years learning passages of Scripture. What Christ says to them in verse 13 is, go and learn what it means. Go and learn the meaning of it. Don't come back and quote it at me. Come back and know what it means. In other words, they missed the meaning. They missed it. Have you done that? Quote to me John 3:16. For God so loved the world. Does the rest of it continue silently in your own mind already? But what does it mean? Have you learned not only the verse, but the meaning? What is God? God is a spirit, infinite, eternal, unchangeable. Can you quote the rest of the catechism? But what does it mean for you? Is there a living truth in your heart? Do you know who God is? Do you know what He is like? Or do you only know the catechism? Christ says to them, go and learn what it means. Go and learn what it means. Have you lost the meaning? Have you lost sight of grace infused in all that God is doing, in all His dealings with sinners? It is grace. If you have, you are left with formality. It might be very orthodox formality, but it is formality. The Pharisees held that God should really be very pleased with them. God should be thankful that there were such people as the Pharisees to maintain the old ways and to stand up against these liberal Sadducees, to hold to the law, to do it all. God owed them a favour. They were keeping the law. Do you think He should be pleased at your Sabbath keeping, at your coming to church? Should He be pleased that you come to the free church continuing? Should God be pleased with such outward formality? Should God be pleased with ritual? When He says in His word, I will have mercy and not sacrifice. His character was made known, but it was misunderstood. Then we have His character manifested in the New Testament. The character of God is embodied in the person of Jesus Christ, the God-man. And the epitome of mercy is God in Christ saving men, going to the Pharisees, going to the publicans, going to sinners, speaking with them, hanging on a cross to bear the sins of His people. He is the epitome of mercy in all that He does. Look for a minute at that gathering in Matthew's house. Look at them round the table. Christ meeting with these fiddling taxmen. Listen to his conversation. Christ speaking to these poor people. Christ pointing out that they had need of healing. The grace that is pouring from his lips. Speaking to them of their need of forgiveness. Look to Christ in his dealing with sinners throughout the pages of Scripture and learn that is what God is like. That's what God is like. That's how he desires you to behave. Barring none from the gospel, not even ourselves. Oh, you have wronged yourself, and you have no warrant if you have barred yourself from the gospel. The Pharisees were objecting to the freeness of Christ's behavior. But in so doing, what they are displaying to the world is their dislike of who God is and what he's like. And that is fully made known. The character of God is shown in the person of Jesus. That is why we have a free gospel. Because of who God is, as well as because of who we are as sinners. But thirdly and finally, Christ tells us that he has a freeness to go among publicans and sinners as much as among Pharisees because of his own mission. It is because men are sinners, because God is good, and because Jesus is the Christ. It is because of his mission. The end of verse 13. I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Why am I come, Christ said. I am come for this, to call sinners to repentance. To call them to himself. To invite you, sinner, to fellowship with the Saviour. The Lord, we can say, is on a mission. He is on a mission to restore and to even exceed by far that fellowship, that communion, that society that was lost when we sinned in Adam. And he makes no division of the men that he sails into with this great mission. He does not divide them into the likely and the unlikely. We are not categories of sinners related to chance and success. Christ himself could simply state his mission. I am come to call sinners. Man's need is universal. Every one of us. God's character is unalterable. And Christ's mission is unmistakable. The gospel is full, and it is free, and it is wide. And as Christians here tonight, you ought to take heart. Do we not often become worried? We become concerned. That it does not include us. Sometimes Christians can be afflicted with such great doubts. He never came for me. But the Lord says he came to call sinners. To call them to himself. To call them to repentance. There's a story often told of the woman who was hesitant in coming to the table, the Lord's table, to partake of the Lord's Supper. The kindly minister said to her, "Take it, woman. It's for sinners." Is that not so? Does that comfort for your own soul? But oh, Christian, there is also this. Let us look on our town in this light. Let us look on our neighbours in this light. But the gospel is for all of them. Not the ones that we've already written off, they will never come. It's for all of them. The most unpromising person can be saved. Now those who are here know far better than I do, who've been parents perhaps, they've anguished over a son or daughter 30, 20, 30, 40 years. They are still not saved. The gospel is still for them on mercy's ground. The gospel is still for all. It is for the most unpromising. It is not too late for you. You who are here, you know to yourself, you're not saved. Unbeliever, whether it is that you have some inclinations toward the gospel or whether you are stubborn in refusing it, you cannot exclude yourself as a fit subject for salvation unless you're going to change your sinnership, unless you're going to change God's character, and unless you're going to twist the mission of the Son of God to mean something that it doesn't. You cannot exclude yourself. There are some here, perhaps you take comfort in this, that I've thought in the gospel was too far gone for me. And you exclude your laziness on this subject because you think it's too far gone for you. There's no salvation for me, so what can I do? I'm going to make myself as easy as I can here in this life, and we'll have to wait and see what the next comes. What a false security you give yourself. What a false shelf you have stopped your descent into hell on. Why do you not want this salvation? Why do you try and convince yourself that it cannot be relevant to you? Seek the freely offered Saviour. The Saviour who's available to everyone here. He's available to taxmen. He's available to Pharisees, to publicans and sinners, to pensioners and labourers and joiners and all of us. Go and learn. Go and learn what it means. I will have mercy and not sacrifice. He has not come to call the righteous, but he is come to call sinners to repentance. Amen. God bless his word to us. Let us pray. Lord and God, we rejoice in thy goodness to us. We rejoice, O Lord, that thou hast not left us with a rock behind which to hide from the freeness of salvation, from the gospel of Christ. We praise thee, O Lord, for thy grace. We praise thee that it is indeed irresistible. We ask that thou would outpour it now, even upon all who are here. We ask, O Lord, that we might call upon thee and be saved. That we might seek the Lord while we are alive. We might seek the Lord while he is near. We might seek the Lord while he is to be found. O Lord, bless us, we pray thee, with our nearness to thyself and with a great desire for those around and about us who are lost. Pardon our sins, O our God. Pardon us for our complacency. Pardon us for our judgmental attitudes towards sinners who are but as we were, in such need of the salvation in Christ Jesus. Bless us then in these thoughts on thy word, to thy glory and to thy praise. Pardon us in Christ's name. Amen.